It's always a pleasure to me to be able to be here with you and to be able to fellowship, to be able to hear the word of the Lord spoken. One of the things, one of the joys of that I know of in life is the relationships that we have through the gospel bonds and not only through the marital bonds. I stand here to introduce not only my brother in Christ, but also my brother-in-law through marriage, and I have a great respect for him and the work in which he desires to do for the Lord. And I pray that you consider the words in which you'll bring forth today, because I know that the Lord directs him in those things that he gives to us. So I would now give to you now my brother, Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Gordon. It's good to be here with you today and to see each one of you. You know, a couple weeks ago, I attended a business seminar. You maybe saw it advertised down at the America West Arena. It had several different speakers there. And, you know, they had a lot of different subjects. They had on teamwork and customer service and sales and leadership and a half a dozen other different subjects. And, you know, I know when my work sends me to a seminar like that, they are hoping to get something out of it, aren't they? It costs them a lot of money to send me down there for a day to go to these seminars. And I know that I do get some things out of it for work. But you know what I focus on when I'm there? Is how I can apply that to the Church of Christ. How I can apply those things to our religious life. That's what I'm always searching for. And, of course, I found out when I was called into the ministry that that's something I need to do. Always is to be looking for those things, those examples that I can bring forth. But today I want to focus on one of those. And that is leadership. During this seminar, there was actually two or three people that kind of talked on leadership. One of them, it was his whole focus, but there were several of them that brought up things about leadership. You know, I guess the first thing we need to determine is who are leaders. If we're going to have leadership, who is this talking about? And there's some good examples, aren't there, of leaders? You know, some of us may say, well, you know, I'm not a leader. You know, I sit here in the pews. You know, I'm not a leader. This can't be talking about me. But let's see as we look a little closer here. I think we would all agree that the President of the United States is a leader. Could anybody disagree with that? You know, through time we may say, well, he's a good leader or he's a bad leader, but we know he is the leader of our nation. We can't dispute that, can we? Rudolph Giuliani was one of the speakers at this seminar. And most of you know who he was. He was the mayor of New York City during 9/11. He had to lead that city through uncharted territory, didn't he? Stuff that had never happened before in history of the United States, something exactly like that. But he talked about President Bush when he went to Ground Zero on September 14th. So this was 3 days after the attack on September 11th. And he said that all of his advisors told him not to go there, they were concerned about a number of things. The more terrorist attack, security, the area was not secure. This is just 3 days after it happened. There were still buildings that were unsecure, and I think there's probably still several buildings that collapsed after that, the surrounding buildings. They told him, they advised him, don't go there. It's not safe, but he was the boss, wasn't he? And he was going there. But he said when he was there, and even when he made his presentation, or I don't remember exactly what all he did, but he's meeting with all these people, the workers, the construction workers, the firemen, the policemen, that are trying to resolve this problem. They wanted his advisor just wanting to be there just for a few minutes. You know, make your appearance and then get out of there. We'll get you where it's safe. But he didn't do that. He stayed and he stayed and he stayed. And he talked to those people and he shook their hands. But Rudolph Giuliano said that made a huge impact on those people because they saw that the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, was willing to go there and to risk his life to support them. And he said it made a huge change in those people's lives. And the work that they had to do there, it gave them more courage. Another one of the speakers that was there was Tommy Franks, who was a four-star general in the Army at that time. And he told about his experience revolving around September 11th. And he was actually on a plane going to Pakistan at that very moment, and he was looking for Osama bin Laden. This was before the attack. But while he was on this plane, he got a call from Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense. And he asked him if he had seen what was happening. And he said, yes, he had. At that time, both towers had been hit, and he had seen what was happening. And he said, it's Osama bin Laden, and who he was looking for anyway. And Donald Rumsfeld agreed with that. He said, yes, it is. But Donald Rumsfeld then said, what are you going to do about it? Kind of a tall order, isn't it? What are you going to do about it? That was a big task, wasn't it? You know, we may not be put in these kind of positions. We may not have to make some of those decisions that those people had to make. But another person that we can agree on as a leader is apostles in the Church of Christ. They are leaders. You know, it says in our Articles of Faith and Practice, number 13, it says, we believe in the same church organization as existed in the time of Christ and his apostles. The highest office in the church is that of an apostle, of whom there are 12 who constitute special witnesses for Jesus Christ. They have the missionary supervision and the general watch care of all of the churches. They are leaders, aren't they? They are leaders in our church. But what about us? We can agree that those are all leaders. The definition of leadership is an act or instance of leading, guidance, or direction. How many of us have been in that position? An act or instance of leading. When have we led somebody in anything? Some of us are supervisors in their jobs. Some of us are school teachers. We are leading a whole class every day, aren't we? Some of us are firemen. Some are policemen. They're in positions of leadership. the choir director, positions of leadership. What about parents? How many of us are parents? The majority of us in this room are parents. Leadership. What about members of the Church of Christ? Important leadership, isn't it? We are leaders. This applies to us. You know, we need to be a good example. We need to be an example to the world. An example for Jesus Christ. To show our leadership. Let's turn over to 1 Nephi chapter 3. We're going to read verses 226 through 227. And this is on page 40. And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few because of the wickedness and abomination of the whore which sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb of God, which were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth. Their numbers were few. This is talking about us. We're going to be few in number. We're going to have to show leadership. Let's skip over to verse 230. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God that had descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord, which were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory. Armed with righteousness and with the power of God. We're going to be armed with that. And our numbers are going to be few. As we take this gospel to the world. We're going to have to be good leaders, aren't we? We're going to have to be a good example. A good example to the world. You know, we hold the truth. We hold the truth of the gospel. It's a big responsibility for us. But as we live our lives, we are going to be leaders. Every day we're a leader for Jesus Christ. Whether that's good or bad. You know, I think in life that we need to decide what we want out of life. Do we want to make a difference? Do we want to make a difference in this world? You know, we have just a small amount of time, and there's so many things we can do with our time. But we have to decide what we do with that time. Do we want to just get by in life? Just kind of float along? Or do we want to make a difference? Make a difference in this world. Make a difference in somebody's life. We can do that through our leadership and through our examples to them. And we're an example every day. Wherever you're at, you're an example. Driving down the road with your coworkers in school, you're an example. Rudy Giuliano is the one that gave the presentation on leadership. And he identified six principles of leadership. And I think they apply to us. I think we can apply them in our lives. The first one, you must know what you believe. If you don't know who you are and what you stand for, you will find that you aren't leading people, you are following them. It's interesting, isn't it? If we don't know what we believe, it's kind of hard to lead other people, isn't it? And I think how true that is. If we don't know what we believe, we will find others that are leading us, and we are following them. So the first one is believe. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 17, verse 3. This is on page 434. And now, O my son Helaman, behold, thou art in thy youth, and therefore I beseech of thee that thou wilt hear my words and learn of me, for I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions and shall be lifted up at the last day. Do we believe that? Do we believe that with all our heart? You know that when we have problems in life, that God is there and that He will support us in our trials and our troubles and our afflictions, and He will lift us up. We need to believe that. It's important that we realize that God is always there. Let's look at John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. The very famous scripture, isn't it? One of the most quoted. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to believe in Jesus Christ, don't we? But you know, when we do this, we need to understand what that means. Because, you know, the world takes this scripture out of context and they say that you just have to believe in Christ and you will be saved. That's all you need to do is just believe in Him. But they don't really understand, do they? That's not true belief in Jesus Christ. You know, in 3 Nephi chapter 5, verses 33 and 34, we won't turn there, but it also adds to that scripture. It says that we must repent also. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved, and they shall inherit the kingdom of God. You know, that's believing and that's understanding the scriptures that this is talking about, more than just believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. There's more that's required. There's repentance and baptism and following His commandments and enduring to the end. That is all part of that believing. Verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We must believe this and understand this, that the only way for salvation is through Jesus Christ. But many out there in the world will tell you differently. We must believe that, and we must understand those things. The second one, you must be an optimist. People don't follow pessimists. People follow hope. You must have a positive attitude. The second one, optimist. You know, in life, we can't always control what happens to us, can we? You know, some things are out of our control. You know, we may be in a car accident or who knows what. We can't always control everything that happens to our lives. But we can control how we react to these things. That's up to us. You know, we're the ones that shape our lives. You know, nobody can make us happy. Nobody can make us sad. Nobody can make us angry. Those things are impossible for someone else to do. Those things are all things that come from within. Yeah, we could get in a car accident. And we can get angry, we get sad, we get mad. But the car accident didn't make us that way. We made ourselves that way. We used that event and those things that happened, and that's the way we chose to react about it. But we didn't have to, did we? We can be optimistic in life, or we can be pessimistic. You know, we should be the happiest people on the earth, shouldn't we? We have the truth of the gospel. We have that hope in our lives. But are we always happy? Do we get pessimistic sometimes? Because things didn't go just right? Are we glad to be alive? Or sometimes life doesn't seem that much fun? Do people want to be around us? Or do sometimes people want to avoid us? Are we a shining light to the world? Or sometimes are we a dark cloud? Our attitudes and the way we choose to react to things, they can take us in one of these directions. You know, if we can't successfully lead our own thoughts and our own emotions and our own actions, it's going to be hard to lead others, isn't it? If we can't control our own emotions, it's hard to be that good example, isn't it? Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know, we can have these things happen to us sometimes in life, can't we? We can be distressed and perplexed, but not in despair. It's how we react to these things in life that shapes our life. It says we can be persecuted, but not forsaken. The world may persecute us, may persecute us for our beliefs, but we are not forsaken. God is always there for us. If we will look to Him and seek after His guidance. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi chapter 8, verse 51. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. We know that Satan is out there trying to destroy us, isn't he? He's trying to give us these pessimistic thoughts. Make us feel bad about ourselves. But we have to believe that no matter what these problems are in our life, it says here that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, in Jesus Christ's name, whatever you ask, which is right, which is something that is right and good, believing that ye shall receive, we have to believe, behold, it shall be given unto you. We have to have faith. We have to believe. We have to be optimistic. That when we come to our Lord and Savior with whatever problem we have, you know, we could take a chalkboard here and take every one of you in this room and you could all write your problems on it. We wouldn't have enough chalkboards, would we? We have problems in this temporal life. But we have to believe and put our faith and trust in God. Have that positive outlook. That positive attitude that our Lord and Savior will answer those prayers. That He will uplift us. That He will strengthen us. That He will comfort us. That He will guide us and direct us. And whatever that problem might be. The third one, you must have courage. Courage is the ability to face fear and overcome it. Courage is management of fear. Leaders cannot let crisis incapacitate them. You must have the ability to demonstrate courage by taking calm, reasonable action in the midst of chaos. Courage. Sometimes that's not easy, is it? to demonstrate courage by taking calm, reasonable action in the midst of chaos. I know I have trouble with that. It's not always easy, is it? But we need to have courage to stand up for what is right. For what we believe in. It may not always be easy. But it's something we need to work on. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We need to have courage. It says to fear not. You know, there's nothing in this world that we need to fear. If we have our faith and hope and trust in God, He can carry us through all things. No matter what they are. It says, for I am with thee. And He will be with us through all of our problems, through every day. If we will but serve Him and follow His commandments to the end. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We might be persecuted in this life. Might be persecuted for our beliefs. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. But we shouldn't fear this. This is not something to fear. This is part of our service to God. And we will be rewarded if we will follow after Him and live that righteous life and be that example to the world. It says, for great is your reward in heaven. We shouldn't fear those things on this earth that man can do to us. Because those things are only temporary. But we should fear our God and serve Him and follow Him. Because He's that one that will make that eternal judgment on us of where we spend eternity. Not the people out here in the world. Not the ones that are persecuting us. We should not fear them. But get our strength through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we can overcome those things. Whatever they might be. The fourth one. You must practice relentless preparation. You must be prepared for every eventuality. Every leader must continue to study, attain knowledge, acquire skills, and plan for every situation that may rise. Your success will be determined by your ability to prepare. The fourth one, preparation. How important this is for everyone, no matter where you're at in your spiritual life, whether you're just beginning, whether you're a small child, whether you're an apostle in the church. He says, practice relentless preparation. Must continue to study and attain knowledge and acquire skills and plan for every situation that may arise. That's interesting, isn't it? Because we don't know what situations are going to arise in our lives, in our temporal lives, in our spiritual lives. Well, he was a good example of that, wasn't it? Rudy Giuliani. The mayor of New York City, September 11th. Preparation. Was he prepared for that? For that strike on the Twin Towers? Not exactly. Nobody was. I'm sure very few of us could even have imagined that in our wildest nightmare of something like that happening. So how do you prepare for something like that? But here you're faced with this situation. You got to deal with it. New York City, obviously one of the largest cities in the world. One of the most famous cities in the world. They obviously had all kinds of plans. He said they had all kinds of disaster plans. I mean, you can just imagine. They had all kinds of things. And they looked through all of them, and they didn't have a plan for September 11th. There wasn't one in there. But as they talked about it and evaluated what they were going to do, they started taking these plans that they had and started piecing them together. Well, we plan for this if this happens, and this if this, and here. Well, they all happened at once, didn't they? Plus some. They put that together and were able to move forward. Which had to be one of the hardest things that any temporal thing that a leader has had to do in this nation. To try to move forward. When all seemed lost. Let's turn over to Alma chapter 9. Verses 40 and 41. This is on page 346. And we see that death comes upon mankind, yea, the death which has been spoken of by Amulek, which is a temporal death. Nevertheless, there was a space granted unto man in which he might repent. Therefore, this life became a probationary state, a time to prepare to meet God, a time to prepare for that endless state which has been spoken of by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. This life we have is this time for preparation. It's to prepare our spiritual life. Prepare us for this next life. A space of time granted to each one of us that we might repent. A time to prepare to meet God. That's what this time is. It's a time that we're preparing to meet God. And when it's over, we're going to meet Him. So we need to use this time wisely. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi chapter 14, verses 4 through 6. This is on page 163. Wherefore, I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. Feast upon the words of Christ. This is part of our preparation. We don't understand something. We don't know what to do. This tells us right here. The words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. All things. Part of our preparation. Wherefore, now, after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore, ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye should do. Preparation. If we don't understand, if we don't know, if we need guidance, we need to ask. Ask the Lord in faith, believing. We're preparing for that next life. This is our time of preparation. We won't turn over there, but in 3 Nephi chapter 6, verse 11, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the kingdom of God first. That's our preparation, isn't it? That's what we need to do first. If we do that, everything else falls into place. If we don't do that, nothing falls into place. We are on the wrong track. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. That's a promise to each one of us. So if we have a pessimistic outlook on life, we need to realize that that's coming from inside of us. That we're creating that. And we can overcome it. If we will heed these words. These are Jesus Christ's words. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. The answers are out there to all of our problems. And our Lord and Savior has promised to and is faithful to answer those prayers and to uplift us and strengthen us and carry us through those problems. The fifth one, teamwork. You build a strong team by figuring out your weaknesses. The way you put a team together is by balancing weaknesses with strengths. Teamwork. A team has weaknesses and strengths, doesn't it? There's no doubt about it. But it's when you can get all those players to come together. We as a church, we as individuals, we have weaknesses and strengths, don't we? There's different things that we're good at. You know, there's none of you out there that want to hear me sing a solo. It would be a very disturbing thing, especially to me. I have no musical ability whatsoever. None. I know what I like. I know what sounds pretty to me. I have no understanding ability whatsoever of any kind with music. We have different abilities, different strengths, different weaknesses. You know, if there's teams, I know at my work, several years ago, I mean, teams were just the only thing on the planet, you know. I mean, they pushed that, and I mean, they went so far off the edge that it was unbelievable. They had these teams, they were really running the company. They would put people in charge. They'd get this group together, and what used to have a supervisor in charge of them, now they picked somebody, and he was the team leader. And the supervisor was just part of it, you know, and these guys were just running amok. They've scaled back on that. It got out of hand. They were not following any rules. But we have teams at work. Teams at school, don't we? You'll find different areas there's teams. Really, if you look closely, we have teams everywhere in our life. Our families are a team or a group of people. Our church, the Church of Christ, is a team. But you know, some of these are more important than others, aren't they? Our family and our church, those are very important teams. We need to focus a lot of time on them. They're very important. We must work together for a common good. You know, one of the speakers at this seminar was Joe Montana. And I think probably most of you know who he is. He was the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, widely considered to be one of the best, if the not best, quarterback in professional football. But he talked about teamwork. And, you know, you've heard a lot of times that there's no I in teamwork. That it's a team, it's this group of people, there's not one individual, so it's, you don't have anybody up there trying to take the glory, is what they're trying to say. But he said he doesn't believe that. He sees it differently. He says there is an I in teamwork. If that I, that person, is working to the best of their ability to get better, get stronger, whatever the activity might be, so that they can help the team. They're not doing it for their own glory, but they, as an individual, are trying to grow and get stronger so it can help everyone. It can help the team. This preparation is very important. You know, he said that you need to prepare to be perfect. You need to set that goal. He said that his coach, when he was throwing those passes to the receivers, that he wanted those passes 12 inches in front of them. 12 inches in front of them every time. Not 6 inches, not 18 inches, 12 inches. And if you know anything about Joe Montana, he was one of the most accurate quarterbacks there was. He was relentless on that. By him working on that very diligently, he achieved that to a great deal. But you know, if we aim for perfection and we fall a little bit short, where does that leave us? But if we're aiming for mediocrity, if that's our goal, we're aiming for this down here and we fall short, where does that leave us? And we can apply these things in our spiritual life. We as individuals need to do what we can to grow spiritually, to study, to become stronger, so that we can help each other. You know, we're going to see as time goes on that this bond we have with our brothers and sisters is going to be more important and more important. There's going to be a greater separation from the world. We're going to understand more how we are a team and that we need to work together and that we each one need to prepare individually. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't let somebody else do it. We need to do our share, whatever that might be. And we know that each one of us needs to prepare ourselves, our own selves spiritually. Because we will each one individually be judged. Nobody else can bring us into the kingdom of heaven. We're going to have to achieve that on our own. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We know that our church is founded on Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. And we know that we have different members and different duties. You know, it talks here of the apostles and prophets. We know that we have different offices of the ministry. And we know that, as we talked earlier, strengths and weaknesses. Each one of us has these strengths and weaknesses that make us all one body. That makes us all stronger if each one of us is doing our share. If we're carrying our load, we can uplift and strengthen others. Let's turn over to Moroni, chapter 6, verse 6, on page 762. and the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Verse 9. And their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the workings of the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them whether to preach or exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done. It's important for us to meet together, to fellowship together, to strengthen that bond. Because it is going to be so important as time goes on that we grow closer together. And one way we can do that is meeting together here. The sixth one, you must communicate effectively. Our power to communicate determines the level of our influence. You may possess tremendous talent and motivation, but if you do not communicate effectively, your ability to lead will be limited. Communicate. Communication is important, isn't it? I know I don't always do a good job. Sometimes I do a lousy job. If you don't believe me, you can ask my wife. Something we need to work on. We need to be positive. Not negative. We need to be positive. You know, there's so many things about our communication that we don't even have to say a word. Just our body language. You know, we have two people, we have every morning at work at 5:15 in the morning, I have a meeting with the foreman. And we discuss and plan the day. Everybody else starts at 5:30. But we meet at 5:15, all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And we come in there and there's four of them and me, so there's five of us. And one of them always comes in like he has, his wife died, his dog died, he got in a car accident. Every morning, without exception, he has the, you know. Another one comes in. You know, I mean, it's 5:15 in the morning. We should be sleeping. You know, nobody should be happy at that time of day. He's ready. You know, he's alive. Life is good every morning. Are they communicating? They communicate before one word is spoken. You know, to me, it's a challenge for the grumpy one because I can make him happy. I can get a smile on his face, but I got to work a little bit, you know. We communicate. You know, I could come home for supper, and my wife could have prepared meatloaf, and I could tell her, you know, honey, oh, this is wonderful. This is my favorite meal. No matter what I said, no matter how sincere I acted, she knows I would not be telling the truth. Because we have had this discussion and just my body language, and her meatloaf is not bad. Her meatloaf is fine. It's not my favorite. When we have meatloaf, that is fine. I eat meatloaf. I put barbecue sauce on it. It is fine. It is not my favorite. So no matter how I acted, I could never convince her that her meatloaf was my favorite thing. because of past communications of my reactions in the past. You know, what's for supper, you know, 30 years ago? We're having meatloaf. Oh. It's hard to overcome, isn't it? I mean, that's real. That's real. So I would be lying if I told her that that was my favorite meal. But we communicate so many ways all the time. Positively and negatively. You know, if I got up here and said, you know, oh, life's a bummer. You know, we got problems in life. I don't know if we're going to make it or not. You know, might as well give up. Would you be excited? Would you be ready to go face the world? No, you wouldn't be, would you? But those communications affect everyone else. But if I get up here and say, you know, life is great. Life is wonderful. We have a God in heaven who loves us and has many promises for us if we will just serve Him and follow after Him. We have a God in heaven that loves us. We have brothers and sisters that love us. We have hope for a better world. We need to be careful with our communications. We are really always communicating. Always. Whether you say a word or not. We are communicating. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 to 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. No corrupt communication should come out of our mouths. You know, I think sometimes we think of, well, you know, it's cussing and profanity, and I don't do that. But I think it can go a lot farther than that. Little things that we say, little unkind things, that can hurt somebody. That can lead somebody away. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We're to put those things out, that bitterness and wrath and anger, evil speaking. You can't lead people with those words. You certainly can't lead them to salvation. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We have a loving God out there who is willing to forgive us of our sins, of our weaknesses, when we trip and fall. But leadership, we're all leaders. You need to believe that. That you are leaders. Many of you in many different situations. Our brother Bob is the pastor of the church. He's a captain on the fire department. He's a parent. Three places there of leadership. Plus many others. Many different situations where we are leaders. We need to be a good example. We need to believe. We need to know who we are. What we stand for. We need to be optimistic. Have that positive outlook. Draw others unto us. That they see what we have. That they want to obtain that. Take courage. Don't be fearful. There's nothing out there in this world to be fearful of. Be strong. Preparation. He said here, relentless preparation. It needs to be every day in our life. We can't take a vacation from it. We need to always be moving forward. Teamwork. We need to all work together. Everyone do their share. Everyone do their part. So that everyone can be uplifted and strengthened. Communicate. We need to let our words be words of kindness, words of love. Let our actions be things that show that Jesus Christ is in our life and that we are following after Him and that we have that desire in our hearts to serve Him to the end. I thank you.